Virginia Beach, 2014. Lieutenant Ryan Graves and his squadron, the VFA-11 Red Rippers, began to pick up strange objects on their instruments within the traditional training area off the coast of Virginia. For weeks, the objects would disappear and reappear almost daily in different areas over the water. The objects would often materialize in groups of six or seven. This incredible event passed on with no discernible conclusion as the objects were seemingly ignored. Traveling from the coast of Virginia to the southern parts of the Shenandoah Valley, a similar event occurred in 1987, where a local radio station was flooded with reports of UFOs for weeks after the local sheriff and his deputies reported seeing strange illuminated objects in the night skies. This case file joined the theorists as they cruised some country roads for mountain mamas in the Withville UFO Flap.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 281, the Withville UFO sighting. I'm Brady.
Flap.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
This one goes back to one of our favorite places. West Virginia.
Yeah, this is like right by the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Blue Ridge Mountains.
Yeah.
On the Shenandoah River.
I was like, as soon as they mentioned, it's like, I know about that place.
I know all about the Blue Ridge
Mountains. Well, Johnny D fucking.
It's pretty close to the Shenandoah River, right?
It is.
Yes.
I think it's right on it.
Yeah.
Is that the only river that runs through there?
This is the biggest one, probably. Yeah. That one is
the famous Shenandoah.
Hey,
let's be honest, it's the only one that matters.
And Dan, do you ever, with a teardrop in your eye, miss the sweet taste of moonshine?
I don't know if Withville is that moonshine there. I don't know. Last time I had moonshine, I got blasted. I probably don't miss the taste of moonshine. But never want to drink it ever again.
I'm going to be honest with you, Dan. I feel a bit cheated in our friendship. After watching that Unsolved Mysteries and listening to all those fucking wicked accents, and then you show up with nothing.
Where's your accent?
Nothing.
Where's your cool Virginia
that's
accent?
Southwestern Virginia. Southwestern.
Yeah, but I don't even. Where's the touch? Nothing there.
You don't even have a bit of twang.
Yeah, no. You don't even say anything real silly.
Metropolitan Virginia. You're
civilized.
Yeah.
Civilized folk.
That pinky out, eh? Driving, don't you?
Yeah, everyone from where I'm at does no, will be like technically non-accented. Like it's just it just sounds like this. There's not. If you go
2 hours south, everyone's a country bumpkin or what?
Pretty much, yeah. Not even that. Like maybe like an hour south, like you start hearing that twang. But yeah, that's where you're. This took place in Withville, Virginia, which Withville is pretty close to where I went to university for my undergraduate, Radford University. It's not that far. It's four hours and some change, like from where I live now. But it's like right next to the city Radford where I used to go to university.
I really read this whole time as Wittyville. I don't know why. I don't know why this is going on.
I started out with Whiteville, and then I thought it was Whiteville, and then I heard him say Withville on the Unsolved Mysteries. I was like, oh, okay, it's Withville. All right.
Sounds like you're saying it with a lisp. Withville.
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 How are we all going down to Withville? We'll see you soon.
The series of events that we're going to be talking about took place around October 7th of 1987, where you had radio reporter Danny Gordon doing his usual check-in with the county sheriff, and the sheriff had some interesting information to share
with
them.
Which is wild. What a wild time. This is like the only time when I read this part and heard this part, I was like, It's fucking insane. A local radio disc jockey would call up the local law enforcement and be like, hey, any breaking stories here, pal? He's like, not today.
Not you today.
Know? I shot five chickens with two shots. And he's like, that's going to be the breaking news today.
Headline news.
Front page. Yeah.
That's going to be top of the hour there, Sheriff.
So now, according to Danny, when he got his information, this is a daily check-in with the sheriff. The sheriff did give him stuff. He said, yeah, like, we don't really have anything to report, but...
Yeah, old Bob was drunk driving again, and some cows got let out the pasture. Oh, yeah, and there was about 50 calls about some sort of unidentified flying object.
You think this sheriff's getting kickbacks from old Danny boy?
I think they had a normal old boy relationship. Like, they known each other forever. Or something.
Yeah, I mean, like, what do you get? Some like radio t-shirts and hats or some shit? Like, why is he, what's the point? You know?
He's getting caller nine in my books.
He's getting first dibs on all the concert tickets for sure.
Must be.
I mean, Gordon is a legit Withville native. Like, he lived in Withville all of his life. Like, he went to pretty much attending school, playing football there. He graduated from Withville Community College. He had a degree in business management, but he wanted to get into radio broadcasting or broadcast journalism. And so he became pretty much the local radio DJ or news radio DJ, essentially.
Dude, it's like 8,200 people in Withville.
Yeah, not that many. That's like now, too.
Yeah, that's now.
That's nothing. That's like a gas station and a handful of houses.
Yeah. One stoplight.
If that.
So, yeah. So, pretty much every day he'd call the sheriff, Wayne Pike, and he would ask him if anything was going on. And so, this particular morning, Pike told him about three of his deputies who all were claiming that they had seen a UFO. And so Pike, to characterize him, and like he's not your stereotype like Southern sheriff. Like, he's not your in the heat of the night
Roscoe Pico Coltrane.
Yeah, he's not that kind of you in a heap of trouble, boy. Like, he's not that kind of guy. But he is a very
added again.
Gordon described him more as a well-educated and articulate man who ran a very well-organized department, and he had a pretty good sense of humor.
Because he was fucking reporting to the local disc jockey every morning.
I feel like we're giving a guy a lot of credit that's fucking arrested three people in 65 years of being a cop.
How is that weird? How is that weird that he is... That he's reporting to, like, he's telling the local.
You ever heard
DJ
of fucking confidentiality? That's like a.
Well, he's just like, have you seen anything weird? Like, you seen
you know
weird
what? No,
today?
It does make sense now when you think of Withville.
Wait,
in the sense
wait,
that they
okay.
Where they don't arrest anyone and nothing goes on because
so
it's
they
like
shame them in the public.
He's calling and he goes, he's like, oh hey Danny, he's like, well. You know, we just arrested old Bill for adultery.
I would assume they keep most of the names like blurred out, just like we do. With
I would
our
fucking
mongoose,
hope so.
Well, with our mongoose files, like kind of seem equivalent.
No, because
hey, Bill, anything exciting happened? Well, you know, Mr. Johnson went down for fucking kitty porn. You're like, what? Don't want anything to do with that.
Charges are pending, though. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I think from the descriptions of Pike, I'm sure he kind of had the sense to just keep it to very superficial kind of weird stuff that would be
there. This relationship between Danny and the sheriff makes a lot of sense later on in the story with how Danny acts with any other law enforcement agency that he comes across. He's looking for information.
He's a patriot.
Yeah, he's a fucking patriot. And he's a little too buddy-buddy, as we'll get into it later on down the story. But that as we're saying this, I'm like, it's adding up now. It's adding up in my head.
So when they went through the entire thing, apparently there was a total of five police officers who managed to catch sight of this, what they described as seeing like a bright red and green light in the sky. And most of these, at least a couple, more than a few of them, had previous military training, was what Pike said, and that they couldn't have really been fooled by something like if it would have been just like a plane or like
a
helicopter.
There's five cops in a town of 100 people.
I mean,
no, 8,200.
Oh.
So there's probably like five on shift or something. I bet there's
So obviously this fucking saucer either went over the detachment or a fucking donut shop. Like, what are these five guys doing hanging around with each other? Shouldn't they be working?
Safety meeting.
Yeah, why aren't they spread out a little?
I mean, they may have been. I'm just saying, like, across the whole county, like, they were, they had five of them checking in and saying, like, yeah, we saw it.
Well, I guess it is their job to observe and report. Right? Fucking staring at the sky, looking for weird lights.
Yeah. Three of those cops were neighborhood watch.
Yeah. The ones who were close enough to get, or, you know, judged that they were close enough to be able to hear something, they said that that craft made no noise. And silent. That they were pretty certain that what they saw was not an airplane and it wasn't a helicopter, of what they had seen. So after Danny got this information, Pike also kind of relayed to him like another kind of story about a family from Ohio that was actually visiting the Graham's Forge area in the eastern part of the county. And they had reported that an object, some type of unidentified flying object, had actually ran them off the road, or, you know, distracted them enough that they took off the road.
And that's, we've discussed countless cases like that where, you know, the ones in Australia, you know, the grandmas and the,
wonder if this was the family, was
sushi
it,
diner.
Was their last name O'Doyle? That's all I could picture for whatever reason. Yeah. Doyle roof.
Punching the roof.
Punching the roof right off the cliff.
Hit a banana peel and fucking the whole family gets wiped out.
In their report to the deputy of what they had seen, they said that this low flying object had come at their car and pretty much forced them off the road, you know, they fearing a collision with this object. And apparently the family just watched this object as it just kind of hovered a short distance away from them with just these blinking lights and making no sound. And then it apparently like it kind of had like a flat gray color on the side that was nearest to the family is what they described seeing. And then it just kind of sped off in a northern direction is what from what they could judge. That's again, making absolutely no noise, just instant acceleration, just taking off.
It's always no noise, but there's always some type of light associated.
It's weird.
What's the light for? Maybe the light's the it's propulsion.
Like, so what do you think? Like, do you think that's just their technology is just soundless, or do you think they're like making it that way to stay somewhat incognito, but then they have these flashing fucking lights on there?
That's what I mean. Maybe the lights are the propulsion. Weird. Maybe it is silent, and that's why we see the light, some type of like, you only seen one part of the spectrum, but it's shooting some type of because, energy.
I mean, that makes sense. Like, that's an interesting thought, because I was thinking that like, I guess this, what are those things called? Transmediums? Is that what they were called, where it goes land to sea and mm-hmm. stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if something was to go that fast, like, wouldn't it make a sonic boom when it broke the sound barrier? Like just going fast?
It would if it was operating in our laws.
Right? But, like even if it had like no means of propulsion, you would think that when it got to that speed and it broke the sound barrier, it would make that sonic boom, which these things never really do.
It's always so that's it's traveling outside of in between realities, wherever they say, like the gimbal has like that,
some sort of
has
some
that
sort
force
of
field, like that force field around it that kind of makes it all blurry.
Oh yeah. So you can't get the photo of it. Right.
It's the same type of camouflage that Bigfoot wears.
But didn't we talked about like a way of traveling. It was like you the ship makes the field around it and then travels through it. Right. So it doesn't get torn apart or something. So yeah, maybe whatever the field they're generating. I never thought about the no sonic boom thing with these things traveling so fast, because you think they would. Interesting. So it's like, it makes sense to transmedium. That's why they go, because it's not even really cutting through air. There's no friction. Like even though it's in our earth, it is like, it's not being affected by friction and
or gravity, you know, or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Or nothing. Interesting.
So Gordon took the story that he got from the sheriff and he ran with it. And he ran this 60-second story on WFXR News, you know, saying that he was excited to share a different kind of story with the listeners. But Danny Gordon wasn't exactly prepared for just how common UFO sightings were in Wytheville. This would be his first experience with finding out that those police officers weren't the first and definitely not the last people to have seen UFOs in the Wytheville area.
Now, the other interesting thing that I've is like he ran this, like at the end of his show, he usually would just do a like a BS story, like I said at the top of the show,
make human interest story, fucking right? Sign like off.
A cop shot 5 chickens with 2 bullets. He ran that as a story the day before, right? Like at the tail end, and he just makes a 60-second, and it basically goes viral. All 8,200 people here wrote it.
Now none of the police officers, because fearing ridicule, actually did any interviews for Danny Gordon and or any really members of the press.
That's normal. The sheriff just having open lines of discussion with Danny Gordon in the morning every morning is unusual.
Well, that's it, but like obviously he doesn't mention that these stories are coming from the sheriff though, right?
Like I'm assuming he calls, yeah, I heard this from a friend of a friend.
Friend of a friend, yeah.
Well, but I'm wondering, like, they probably go for coffee. Like, they're good old boys. They probably know each other well. They meet at fucking Martha's place for a fucking cherry pie and a couple coffees. And then he gives them the deets of what's been happening.
He gives them the deets and the sheriff slips them underneath the table those confiscated drugs.
He's like, you know, I can't tell you. He's like, well, this key lime pie is telling me differently. And he's like, oh, Danny, you know the key to my vault. Spills every morning.
The story kind of blew up from these UFO sightings. So like, yeah, Danny Gordon started getting a number of calls coming in, and not just from people who were claiming to have seen UFOs either before or after the ones at the events that the sheriff's deputies had shared with him. But you had, other newspapers, like both like local and like Virginia newspapers, as well as, you know, this is back in the day when there was more than like one newspaper, like this, like, and then you had like national newspapers like coming in and like calling up Danny and being like, what is going on here? Like, what is happening?
I think like it's important to talk, like when he talked about this, I imagine like he's the number one hit fucking show at that point in time.
Yeah. And in Wytheville. Like
when he told that story, show. His switchboard lit the fuck up in minutes. Right,
yeah, like the lines were clogged.
Yeah, and like people saying, and some people had stories up to like years and years old. Other people describing different types of sightings, different types of crafts. Other people were saying that like they've had issues with their livestock being spooked by these lights and stuff like that. I think one of the biggest things though is everybody was that same common thing where they did the ships were completely silent.
Silent.
Yeah, there were different descriptions. Yeah, there were some that like were completely different descriptions of like the different crafts. Like some of them,
somebody said it was like a shape of a T.
Yeah, they had like T shapes. They had every type of aircraft, every type of UFO shape that, you know, if you get one of those posters and it's the common UFO shapes, you probably had one from each category. You had people with the triangular shape seeing it with the lights on the each end. You had circular, you had spherical, you had every type of UFO and people calling in and being like they had seen something. And, you know, now Danny Gordon, you know, as kind of painted himself as a skeptical, like a very skeptic, you know, practical person. He his interest in broadcast journalism, like he was always interested in being kind of like seen as a credible person and kind of pursuing the truth and just kind of bringing that to the public. And so with all of these people calling in, he wasn't exactly totally, at this point, at the very beginning, Danny hadn't really jumped on the bandwagon and been like, yeah, there's UFOs for sure. He was like, people are seeing something and we need to figure out what that is.
there was not a second that went through his mind. He went, people are loving this. We got to strike while the iron's hot. I've never been more popular. The radio show, we got to have a UFO hour every Sunday.
I'm going to write a book.
This is going to be my Baghdad or whatever reporter.
My Baghdad.
What?
You know, the reporters
big
go,
story is what you're saying?
Big story.
Baghdad's a big story. That's where you're going?
Yeah.
Well, I see how you got there.
Yeah. He did write a book. And so, yeah.
That's right.
He did write a book with another journalist, Paul Dellinger, called Don't Look Up, The Real Story Behind the Virginia UFO Sightings, where I pulled some of the info for this case file. But yeah, talking about it, but you know, he describes, at least in that book, he talks about him being a very, starting out as a skeptic. And then as events unfolded, he became more and more of a believer. It kind of went more and more down the rabbit hole, as we'll see.
Well, I think especially, you know, when, and I would say, like, it kind of happens with us too. It's like, I'm sure of these hundreds and hundreds of phone calls he's getting, he's just like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. But then every now and then there's some where he's like, okay, that's a little interesting. And what you just said there kind of ties into what this person told me. And you start to get these loose connections and you're like, well, these people don't know each other and they don't know they told me this. And now their stories kind of corroborate each other. It would be very interesting. I'm sure you would kind of be like, you would start to be like, all right, well, this, maybe there is something here. Maybe these people are seeing something.
And so they're not, the people of Withville are not exactly strangers to having unusual aircraft or kind of seeing like strange aerial maneuvers around.
Yeah, fucking Mothman. fucking
That's Virginia's, West Virginia. That's West Virginia.
it's all Virginia. You say, how far is Virginia? You can't fly as a crow flies?
But
you don't think
flies?
Mothman can fucking glide across?
But we have here in Virginia, we got tons of Air Force bases and stuff like this. So I think they said Langley.
What's the one you got? Langley? Yeah.
Langley is one of the closer ones. And that's one that is very, Langley Air Force Base is just like where they would, you know, that's where you would scramble out jets from this and all of those things.
I would imagine that Air Force, like that area too, being like so close to the Pentagon and stuff, probably yeah, like super heavily fortified defense.
Yeah, Washington D.C. itself like has the large, kind of a moment, but it's like it is the largest non-fly zone in the United States.
Like, dude, they probably have the most sophisticated air defense weapons there too. Probably like buried underneath the city. If some type of enemy jet came in, they'd probably like lift up, their version of Central Park would lift up with some big turrets.
Yeah.
I can just imagine
the Pentagon just shifts open. It's actually just a fucking hangar that just
does look like a giant G.I. Joe base.
It's just like just rail guns come out of the top of the Washington Monument.
Every street light just flips up. Fucking hyper beams fucking shooting in the sky.
You know when they started construction on the Pentagon?
No.
1500 BC.
September 11th,
1941. Oh, shit.
Interesting.
Been planned.
Coincidence?
This whole time. Yeah, the Pentagon was actually built on a prior civilization's foundation.
And that's burial ground?
Yeah. And that's where the tech came from.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. It actually predates the pyramids.
It's a megalithic structure. Yeah, that's fucking...
You ever heard that conspiracy? It's true. Look it up.
One of the more interesting reports that
this is his first contracting job.
One of the more interesting reports that Gordon received is that he got a caller, Patricia.
It's one
Aker.
Solid block. There's nothing like it in all the world. Forget the 50-ton blocks. It's one block. Have you looked at it? There's not even you can't even put a credit card in anywhere. It's one block. Should do DC tours where we tell people that we run a tour telling people the it's a megalithic structure.
I'm pretty sure I had one of those in Rome where the guy, like, we had a tour guide that we booked out of a hostel, and I think he was just bullshitting us the whole way through. It was like, yeah, Julius Caesar died here. And you're like, yeah, I don't know about that, buddy. Like, this is an Italian restaurant in the middle of
nowhere.
It's like
a bubble tea place. Yeah. He's like, all right, now you can buy some jade in the back.
Yeah, this kitchen over here, this is where Caesar died. You can also get great antipasti here.
We should have started.
You have to buy something.
We should start a podcast that rivals hardcore history, but it's all completely fake and we make it up on the fly.
Softcore history. Somebody hasn't already thought of it.
Drunk, wrong history.
Completely. Hey, we just tell people, like, can you show me that the Pentagon hasn't always been there?
I'm Yes.
I'm sure there's there before pictures.
There might be some pictures.
Yeah, that's what NASA wants you to think.
Yeah. Sure. Patricia Aker was a resident of Fort Chiswell, which is just west of Wytheville. And she told, this is kind of an interesting little piece, is that like her and her husband were on a road that was near, I guess, their local fish hatchery out there. And they seemed that they had sighted some type of very large aircraft that was flying very low, and they couldn't hear anything from this thing. Like, it was just, they couldn't hear any sound from this aircraft, and they weren't sure what it was doing. And it was like her husband, like, it startled her husband to the point that he said, like, oh my goodness, that's a UFO. And that I guess, like, that's made the kids start crying. I guess the kids were freaking out, like, in the car.
As an adult, I'd probably cry.
Yeah.
But the strange thing is that they were able to identify them. She's like, they were big airplanes. She's like, these were big airplanes. But the thing was, is that, like, they were out around like 7 p.m., which was kind of like, at that time, it was like, this is like October. So it was like 7 o'clock at night and it was dark. And she's like, I don't know what they were doing out there, but they were flying really, really slow. She said that they were painted army green, but they look like just the big army transport planes, like these big army planes, like flying around. And it's like, okay, so you had a UFOs like a couple nights ago flying around here all over the place. And then you've got like, you know, Air Force and or army planes like flying around.
Yeah.
Maybe looking for something. Just kind of
100%.
It's a weird look for sure. And so media outlets across the country just picked up on this story, and like television crews just started like flooding into Wytheville, right? And just kind of just trying to pick up on what was going on and what the story was that was going on. Because I mean, if something happens in Virginia, it usually gets national coverage just because it's so close to Washington, D.C.
The proximity, yep.
And it's like most of probably the national news stuff can, like, you can send people down there and be like, hey, can you go check this out? So it's
they're like, I don't God think it's a real damn mystery. Wytheville?
Yeah, Wytheville. Like, where is that? This is back in the days before
that's
Google
in Virginia?
Maps.
Fuck.
Like, oh my God. It's actually not that bad. I think you just have to hop on 81 and get down there. It's not too bad, but you're still like driving down. Like, it is very like almost the end tip of Virginia. It's like the neck of like that little part down there in Virginia. So it's like you had this entire like media circus going on in Wytheville, which was just something a lot of people weren't really like prepared for some of them.
Where's everybody taking a shit? This is a town of 100 people. Like, there's only fucking one toilet. It's digging holes. Out behind the van.
Here's the public. Zell's concerned. They're all pulling a Zell in the alleyways.
Everyone's like shitting on that building. Oh, it's disgusting.
In Wytheville.
Is that a real thing? I always hear that as a rumor that there's apps and shit to tell your people shit in San Francisco. Is that real?
Oh, yeah. Well, because there's people shit everywhere.
That is real. I thought that was just like that became an internet rumor. That's real. People just shit everywhere.
Well,
and then
maybe I got confused by the rumor too, but I feel like my cousin lived there and he told me about it.
See,
there's people shit all over.
San Francisco.
Kelowna's not too far off.
We're getting there. We got a couple shitty streets.
Yeah, there is. It's called Snap Crap.
Wow. you pin where it was.
Yeah. Yeah, you pin where it is.
Jesus. Great.
So you can sightsee them, I guess.
I guess.
But yeah, this story's going sensational at this point. Like, it's hot. It's a hot story.
It's gripped the nation.
Yeah.
Gripped the world.
Well, it's gripped Virginia, maybe. Definitely with Phil.
Danny doing his due diligence, and you know, he felt as his responsibility as the broadcast journalist and kind of the main source of the news in Wytheville, kind of went out and he was making phone calls to everybody that he could possibly think of in order to kind of figure out what was going on.
Well, just before that, he, like, because of the height of this, like, he basically made a Cosmic Channels knockoff because there were so many people calling that he's like, okay, well, we're like, we can't even play songs here. Can't even give away tickets. So now, like, he basically had like a designated hour of like, hey, like, this is when you can call. This is when the time to call in. And he'd tell me the story, right? So like he had a call in time where he would receive hundreds and hundreds of these calls. Zell, do we have the audio? Zell, do we have the audio for the radio show? Did you?
Oh, yes. Yes. So yeah, we have the audio. I believe we have a old archived audio. I think I had to rip it off cassette tape. This is what. Let me just pull it up right here.
Good morning with Phil. This is Danny Gordon with WFXR.
And now I'm the sheriff.
This is your WFXR News on the Nines coming in the middle of our John Denver morning
and
marathon.
And I'm the sheriff.
We got a little bit of a new sensation here in Whiffville as we have a number of reports of people seeing unidentified flying objects.
Aliens!
In our airspace.
That's aliens, Dan!
Now, we're going to turn to the... We're taking calls. Most of you have heard the stories coming up, and I'd like to hear from our Whiffvillians to see what's going on out on the streets.
All right, we got the first caller here. I'm the sheriff. You're on the line. Danny, is that you, Danny? Danny?
That's me, caller. Where are you calling
Danny.
From? Who are you?
Man, I'm calling from down below. I could see you building right from here, buddy. Now, listen, first of all, long-time listener, first-time caller. I just want to tell you, I was outside, looked outside, heard some noises, came outside, saw my chickens, my cows, everybody's going crazy. Looked up, saw some bright lights, panicked, ran back inside, called 911. Then there's your famous friend over there, Sheriff Pike. He came by.
But bright lights. The lights were on wrong.
Next caller. Okay.
Hi there, Danny. Is this Danny and the sheriff?
This is your Danny Orton with WFXR, and you're
Danny.
On the air.
And this is the
Danny,
sheriff.
Sheriff Danny, it's me, Bern Durgan Bergen. And I seen it last night. I seen these white lights that are streaking up the sky.
What'd you see, Durgan?
They scared my wife and my kids. My kids were up there playing in the yard. They were crying. But I don't know what I seen. I seen them ships flying over the skies fast. They were military green or something. They were chasing.
Nope. Next caller.
Danny.
This is Danny. You're on the air.
Caller number six, right? Call him for the John Denver tickets. You guys give those away yet? Caller number six.
Sorry, caller. You're caller number three.
Son of a bitch.
I may or may not have those tickets in my back pocket right now, but...
Am I on?
Next caller.
Hello, caller, you're on the air. With Danny Gordon and the sheriff.
And the sheriff.
I got the craziest story, man. I've been trying to get on forever. I got the craziest story for you guys. You won't even know. My friends were at the school. It was like 100 meters away from me. And then like, man, this is crazy. I'm on the show. And like,
What happened? Where'd you go?
And I like turned around and went home. And my friends were there, but they were like, whoa.
Where were they? What were they
what's
doing?
What's going on? What's happening with you?
What did you see?
And then I was like, then earlier we were crossing the street to go... And I,
all right, an LSD is a hell of a drug, and that's the end of that call.
Hey, am I on?
Well, we can take one more call for the night.
Dr. Frinkle.
Caller, you're on the air.
Well, I just wanted to reach out to everybody really quick that if anybody's come in contact with any of these bright lights, anybody's feeling very stressed out and confused and don't know about their feelings and stirred up, that you can contact Dr. Sprinkles at 1-800-999-3674, and Dr. Sprinkles will help you with hypnotic regression therapies and talk you through this.
There's no self-promotion on the show. Okay.
That's basically what a day in the life of Danny Gordon was every mm-hmm. single day.
Mm-hmm. After,
call
after
the sheriff.
Danny and the sheriff. Whoa.
There's a snake in my boot.
The sheriff.
Yeah.
Fee, 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 fee.
They really were trying to capture two different audiences in Whiffville, But they only had one radio station, right?
They had no one else for the job.
Yeah.
And after this like a flood of calls coming into the thing, Danny really got on the UFO believer train, and he was kind of determined to find out what was going on and get to the bottom of this UFO, like genuine UFO flap that was going on in Wytheville, Virginia.
And before he gets to find out what's going on, we're going to take a quick beer break. We'll be right back.
And this WFXR news has been brought to you by Crazy Moe's Crazy Pickle Baby Emporium, number one sale. Everybody tell me, they say, hey, you'll give a pickle baby away. All the dealers, too good. I say, Mohammed, how crazy are we? Wow, we're crazy. We're too crazy. Everybody come to me. Today, we give you number one good deal. Mohammed, where can they find us?
What?
Where do they find us, Mohammed?
They can find us at P.O. Box 757.
What the fucking address, Mohammed? Yeah, we're on the radio. Tell them where to find us.
If you want to advertise with WKXD...
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
We're back. Just before the break, Danny was, he feels, I guess, a sense of responsibility because he's the one that not really broke this story, but brought this story to the forefront. You know, he's obviously wants to strike while
seeing
the iron's
dollar
hot.
Bills. He's become the focal point for it. Like all of these people are calling into him now. Like he's become the focus now of like all these people calling in with their various reports. And I'm sure he does feel some type of responsibility because he is he's Wytheville born and raised. Like all these people,
I heard everybody,
these people, like
I heard he fucking wouldn't pay for parking tickets, anything like that. He just tell everybody, I am Wytheville. All right.
I'm the voice of Wytheville.
Yeah. Fucking nobody fucks with Danny fucking Wytheville.
Number one.
His name is Carlson. He's got, I picture him as like the Fraser Crane.
This is by far my favorite part is because he's like, okay, well, I got to get to the bottom of this.
Have to.
And I think these might be, you know, some sort of experimental aircrafts being flown by military personnel out of Langley, which, hey,
that's plausible. It's plausible.
100% undeniable if it was. Right? So he calls the military base. He calls him, right? He's like, I need to talk to whoever.
Hello, military base? Is that you?
This is the voice of Wytheville.
It's Wytheville.
K-97-7 Danny.
They're like, who? Danny Gordon. Like, who?
Danny Gordy.
And he accounts, he goes, and you know, they were a little apprehensive to talk to me. So I assured them. They're like, hey, listen.
Comped him a few tickets to fucking John Denver. And
here's a little John Denver ticket.
Sing like fucking birds.
And all I need from you is, if this is top secret military experimental crafts being flown in the skies, just let me know and I won't say a word because I'm a patriot.
Guy's a patriot.
And they're like,
"Guy's a patriot."
Patriots are very trustworthy people.
Well, this was 1987. Being a patriot was still cool.
I'm not saying it's not cool, but that's not going to get you any kind of top secret. He also called, he's like, you know what? While I'm at it, president at the time, this is, Danny Gordon, the voice of Withville. I just want to know, or CIA president, were you involved in the JFK killing? Because if you were, you can tell me and I'll end it right here. I want, because I'm a patriot. I'm a patriot. NASA, did you really go to the moon or not? You can tell me if you didn't, and I won't say nothing because I'm a patriot.
Danny was making multiple calls to military bases and military officials, like trying to get somebody to go on record or even off the record to kind of explain what was going on out there, you know, and the kind of the general explanation that
dude, he was looking for his big break. He was looking for his big break. If I've had one of those guys listen to him and been like, oh, you're a patriot. And he's like, yeah. And they're like, okay, listen, it is us. It's top secret military craft. Don't say anything. He would have been the next board and be like, hey, breaking news. I'm Danny Gordon. This is shit.
My inside sources. Yeah. Well, think about how quickly he fucking flipped his other source. Sheriff Pike.
Sheriff, yeah.
As soon as he started writing books, he's like, I got all my info from Pike every fucking morning. I'm sure that's confidential shit. He's not supposed to be telling the radio host.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Like, come on.
So the general explanation that he got from most of the military officials is Danny said that he was getting reports that these were planes refueling. This is what the people are seeing. Like, you know, because people are explaining seeing like, you know, two lights come together and then the lights would part and come apart. So he was saying that they were having, you know, that this is what they were seeing. But Danny was like, no, he called the Pentagon. He called officials at the Pentagon.
Mr. Pentagon, this is Danny Gordon.
And, you know, apparently he said that he talked to an Air Force general there, an Air Force general or a major, and told me that if they're refueling under 13,000 feet, then somebody's butt is in a sling. And to this day,
what the fuck does that mean?
Well, it means they're fucked. Like they're
how do you sling a butt?
Oh, you're in trouble.
Put in a big old. You make a big slingshot. You place the butt in the slingshot, then you shoot it.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone should know,
one of the officials that he got the name was Major Ed Harrell, and said that quote, "We are conducting refueling operations from our base north through the Wythe County and New River area, but we do not refuel at low altitudes. Our operation in no way could be what the Wythe Countyans are seen as UFOs at 3,000 feet and under." So from what these people were seeing, that, you know, these aircraft were flying, you know, reportedly very low, he's like, it couldn't have been us. Like, we're not going to fly that low, because he explained that we don't do refueling that low because of turbulence, like, which is a terrible thing to do. And dangerous.
Also with Countyans? With Countyans?
I mean, I don't know what else. Withians? Like, what else do you go on?
With Countyans? Withians?
With Villians.
With Villians?
Yeah, that's way cooler.
Well, I think their
sports teams are called the Villains. Like, it'd be fucking.
I think
badass.
It's Wythe County. Like, it's so they go like with the income Withians or with Countians. Yeah,
with Countians.
I would think call them Withians.
It's to me though. Like, good, even the idea of bringing up that this would be some sort of like low altitude refueling, because if they were that low, there would be no fucking, like, there would be no incentive. But you'd be like, those are planes. Oh, look, that one looks, there's a huge one. Refueling some other silent ones. Yeah. Right? They don't have silent fucking refueling planes that we know of. We should call up the CIA and ask them.
Yeah, no problem.
Wow. Just call we're patriots,
NSA,
aren't we?
If you're listening, you can let us know. We're patriots.
you know, Danny's trying to chase down every type of authority and person that he can possibly find to figure out what's going on. So he said that he tried to contact, you know, national UFO groups. Nobody answered his calls, which is strange. That, you know, usually
they think they'd be all over this. Oh, no, he wanted the story to himself. He just lied. He didn't.
And so he kind of said that he was at this point, after he wasn't getting any phone calls back from any of the UFO groups, local or national, you know, he was ready to kind of hang up the story. But a lady called him who identified herself as one Barbara Finney, who's a resident of Troutdale, Virginia, and who was a UFO expert, and is that what she claimed is her title.
Yeah. Self-claimed? And
she offered to come to Wythe County. I mean, it's like, I mean, UFO expert. I mean, we're UFO experts, technically.
I'm not.
Well, at least like me and Brayden.
I am. I am a UFO expert.
Brayden 100% is a UFO expert.
Every single day, I watch I watch every new video submitted on MUFON and every new picture submitted every single day with my coffee. Every single day.
Yeah, but I'm not, I fucking, that's what I watch sports. Like, I'm not a sports expert.
Yeah, but after a while, you were like, if you watch, no, like, you're I've a football fucking, expert, I, you know, like, you know, if no, you watch football
highlights. I know a lot about it, but I'm not an expert.
Yeah. Well, in an unknown field, I am an expert.
You're a professional if you get paid. An expert, yeah. You can just be an expert. You don't have to get paid.
I don't think so.
You can just, if you say you're an expert and you believe it and you self-proclaim it, you can be an expert.
Yeah.
I don't know. Listen, I'll tell you what. I know for a fucking firsthand, I've seen a video that you've watched that was clearly an unidentified flying object, and you fucking just, you know, scoffed at it and called it a bug. All right? It was clearly a UFO.
It was okay? Clearly a 30-foot serpent creature.
Yeah. Centipede or whatever. Remember that? What's that game called?
Centipede.
Centipede. Yeah. That's what it was.
Barbara Finney offered to come to Wythe County and to kind of give her, lend her expert opinion and experience to help Danny kind of figure out what was going on. So her and her husband came down to Wytheville or Wythe County, and they accompanied, they went with Danny yeah, they went with the Wytheville, and they went to an area which was known as the Rural Retreat Lake, which sounds like a fucking horror movie place. Absolutely. But
you know for a second, like, this guy's a fucking Doug. Like, remember Mel from Flight of the Conchords, her husband Doug that just tails her around?
Oh yeah, just supports her.
This guy's a Doug. Doug's
the
like,
cock.
He's like, oh, hi. Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah. That's Doug standing over there by the car, yeah, like 20 feet away. Hey,
hon.
shh. I'm talking. Oh, sorry.
Get in the car, Doug. Told you to wait in the car.
It was a pretty large group that they had going with them. They had Joe Heldreth, who was a longtime friend and reporter for the Southwest Times. You had Mark Bowes, who was a reporter for the Richmond News, and then Richmond News leader and the Wythe County Sheriff our favorite Sheriff Wayne Pike also went with them. And so they all kind of went out there to keep their eyes on the skies, essentially, and just kind of go see what was going on, if they could catch the phenomenon.
Well, here's my question: little drugs.
What's this expert going to bring to the table in this situation? Like, is she going to grab a little bit of grass and put in the wind and listen to the ground and be like, the UFOs will probably be this way? What would you do, Braden? Because you're an expert. What would you do to fucking go to a good spot to fucking view these UFOs?
Yeah, first step, walk us through it.
Let's hear it. You got an EMF reader? Like, what are you going to do here, buddy?
Well, I'd contact the local radio host.
Well, you're with them.
Yeah, right? But
he called you.
Yeah. He called me. No, I called him and offered my expertise.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right? Okay. So you're like, people don't see you, like, find you. You find them.
You find them. Yeah. I'm like,
quite the expert.
Jack Reacher. Right? Okay. I find you when you need me the most.
Yeah, you're definitely reaching.
Right. And then I'd say, obviously, you know, it goes without saying, you got to keep those eyes on the sky. So you want to be out there where you want to be a spot with big sky, right?
Okay.
Right? I don't believe in any of that CE5 stuff. I don't believe you got to meditate. I don't think any of that. I'm a new age.
No incense or anything?
I'm just a firm believer. If you wait out there and patient enough, these things, you will see them. I'd bring a green laser pointer, you know, just in case, to differentiate planes from UFOs, because if you shine at a plane crashes, you know it's human, right? Easy. Okay.
Yeah. If you can blind a human and it crashes, yeah, I like this theory.
Right? You always aim for the cockpit, because that's what like, aliens don't have a cockpit. We're soon to see it.
So far we have going outside and looking up.
Federal felony.
Federal felony.
You want the FAA to come and arrest you, yes.
Right. And then when you see a weird light, you go, whoa, did you see that? That was weird.
Yep.
UFO.
Okay.
So as they were out there, as Danny tells it, they saw pretty much nothing but stars, and a few distant airplanes that they could see until
as they were snuggling up on a blanket with Doug in the car,
until something caught their eye, and they pointed Barb's, out excitedly.
Barb's said like, "Ooh, it's really cold out here, and I didn't bring my jacket."
Danny said him and his group, his reporter friends, I'll watch this distant object that seemed to be like moving around or vibrating in the air and just seemed to change colors erratically. And like they were like, that's it. That's the thing that everybody's been seeing. It's something and it's moving through the sky. Barbara, UFO expert as she is, apparently kind of just took a long breath and then said, I'm sorry to tell you guys, but what you're seeing is a star working its way through the atmosphere.
What?
Now, so
the fuck does that mean?
I've never heard that fucking explanation before.
So the Finney star. Said, Finney said
I would
she
mean, had Mylar been, balloon. I would have believed.
Finney said she had been investigating UFO sightings for about 9 years, so close to a decade. And her expertise like led her to say like, this is a thing. And I've seen this before. Like when you have stars that are like just because the atmosphere is there, right? So it interferes with the light that's coming through it. And you have a star coming through there. It can look like that star is wobbling. It can look like the star is wobbling. It can change colors. It happens with Mars. I've seen it happen with Mars. Sometimes if you actually observe it, like looks like it's kind of shaped, but at like a certain point where it hits it, like it stabilizes. And she kind of told them, Just wait a second and then wait for it to like kind of like go a little bit further, like where from the air, the spot in the sky that it is, and just wait for it to move a little bit and then you'll see it settle down. And it did. And she called it out just exactly and it happened. And they're like, that's kind of strange. They're like, oh, okay. But then she's also like, that might not be what everybody's seen, but I can definitely like, we can rule out some things. Right. So she was like, she's not in there to just be like, okay, everything's UFO. And like, yeah, that's let's start meditating at it and get it to manifest. It's, get it out there. She's like, she kind of seems to know what she was talking about. She was a skeptical thing. And in her investigations, like she'd been doing this stuff for, close to a decade. She said she had actually like published her own monthly newsletter for a time, but she had to end up actually giving it up because she had so many people who she described as kooks writing to her. And then somebody actually started tampering with her mail at some point because she was publishing this newsletter and she had to stop.
getting too close to the truth.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's a good call.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And so from this, like, again, this was getting national coverage. This was getting news. This was getting news up and down, at least up and down the East Coast. You were having news, news teams come down and do reports on this. And apparently, like, in Danny's opinion, like, with seeing it like that, because he was keeping up with all the things that were being put out, he said there were some great stories done on the UFO sightings. But some of them, I guess, were kind of the ones that had his phones ringing off the hooks were the ones that didn't do it justice, I suppose. So there were a lot of Withcountians that were actually kind of up in arms about some of the news stories that seemed to approach it with a type of like sarcasm and tried to paint Withville as this kind of hick town.
I can see people being mad. Like, hey, like it's our town. You're fucking taking, having a laugh at us, having a funny at our expense.
Yeah, you're thinking that everybody out there just drinks moonshine and is just like going half blind and thinks that they're just seeing a whole bunch of stuff. But like
we got one eye that works.
So you have the apparently at least one of the stories, like that story that specific story that Gordon referred to, like there was enough pressure from the Wythe County residents that they actually forced a public apology from that network's reporter. Like they had to go on and like apologize for what they did.
All 8,200 people wrote in.
Yeah. Well, apparently the apology aired on one of Gordon's like newscasts. So his, one of his Withville News at 9 or whatever, like he actually aired it, and to placate the Withvillians, I don't know, so they don't take up their pitchforks, I guess. And then you had a, you know, they, apparently they had another television news anchor that just laughed right after introducing the segment, you know, which is like, I think we've all seen that where it's like people like, yeah. you know, somebody's like a local resident man, you know, says that he's seen a UFO, you know, a little snicker or sly smile yeah. or whatever. You see those kinds of things, you know, indicating that they're not exactly taking it seriously. And the resident said that they actually called that news station and then they called him and then they called Danny Corden and they were demanding another apology for blatant making fun of our people and community. So they were not, they did not take kindly to those who were like,
who fucking were, don't make fun of fun Withville their, when, yeah. when Mr. Withville's on the watch.
And so it wasn't just like nameless residents of Withville that were just getting these things. Apparently, like one of the people who saw a UFO was Anne B. Crockett Stark, who is the wife of Withville's mayor, who had been mayor for nearly three decades. Apparently, like like mayor for like 30 years. Wow. Who is Dr. Carl E. Stark?
He's running against a fucking dog or something.
No one opposed him. Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Carl E. Stark, you know, father to Tony Stark, you know, everybody knows that. And so he remarked on this situation that he felt proud. This is the mayor speaking, that he felt proud of the community because everybody was kind of approaching it very sensibly, you know, and this is still at a time where it's like everybody's kind of like remembering, you know, War of the Worlds news broadcast and everybody freaking out, putting pots and pans on top of their heads and, you know, getting their rifles and charging out into the mountains. And he's like, no, it's like, that's not really happening. You know, it's like, we seem to be taking it all in stride. And you know,
well, they were already wearing pots for hats and living in the mountains. So,
well, and then we're going to get a call from Withville. We're going to have to give a public apology.
Can you imagine to people with we get an email from Danny Gordon? I heard your podcast.
Cease and desist.
I want a public apology. I
demand a public apology to the good people.
To the people, voice of Withville.
To the good people of Withville County. Or Wythe County. Apparently the mayor didn't really have a problem with the labeling this like a UFO invasion or just kind of rolling with it because he felt that apparently like it was bringing in these newspaper reporters and things. Yeah, they were bringing in money. It helped out the motel and the restaurant businesses locally. So he's like, he had no problem being like, yeah, UFOs, like come and see them. Like come down to Withville, catch yourself a UFO.
It's literally every single one of these cities that has one of these sightings, the mayor's always on board. Instantly.
Yeah, of like, course.
Right?
Merchandise, buddy.
Yeah.
Movies.
He's seeing just book dollar deals. Signs. He's
Let's
like,
go.
New Tax tourist dollars. Info. Yep. In the shape of the UFO.
One of the other people who took advantage of the whole situation was one Richard Philippi, who was apparently a building contractor and a co-owner of the Texaco travel store and the Comfort Inn in Withville. Like, dude is an entrepreneur yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
His store started selling t-shirts with the message "Wythe County, Virginia, the UFO capital of Virginia" on them. Apparently with a little illustration of UFO. And he said that
flying off the shelves.
Yeah. He said they sold out as fast as they could make them. And most of the people who were buying them were the visiting reporters. Like, cause I mean, you'd want a souvenir if you drove all the way down 4 hours to go.
No, I guarantee they were buying them. They were buying them. So when they stood in front of the, like, and tonight at 6, I'm on the location with the UFO flight and they're wearing the stupid shirt. Guarantee you every single one of them.
And so, like we said, Danny was still very much a skeptic of one of those things, but he was going out there like a couple nights in a row. Like he was going out and looking for these things, like looking for the UFOs and trying to catch what was going on. And so one of these nights, specifically October 21st, just 2 weeks after that first sighting, Danny and his friend Roger Hall actually drove to the area where they had marked out that the most of the sightings had actually occurred. And so according to Danny, they brought along a 35 millimeter still camera as well as a video camera to catch, you know, get photographic and video evidence, like for sure, this is what's happening. Now, once they got out there, they didn't really see anything. They were just about ready to give up. But Danny said that here's what he said in the quote, "We were headed We were headed home after 2 hours of fruitless searching, and I just happened to look to my left, and I saw a very unusual object coming across the horizon. I pulled off to the side of the road in a hurry, jumped out. He got out on the right side, so he's talking about his buddy Roger Hall. And as I got out, I noticed the craft coming at me was very large. It had a dome shape on the top of it, no wings, and it had what appeared to be a strobe putting out multicolored lights on the right side of the craft. As I watched the sky, from the left came a red ball. As the big mothership, as he starts calling it, went into a small skiff of clouds, the red ball seemed to dock with the craft. And then he looked at each other, or they looked at each other apparently, and then they realized they didn't have their cameras in their hands because they were just staring at this thing. None of them had, like, they were outside of the car. Both of them had left their cameras like in the back, like they had left the video camera in the back seat. And then the camera, like the camera was like on the dash of the car and they had left it in there because they had both got out. And no, the one reason they had went out there, they both
that's what I mean. Like your only point for doing this and you fucking shit the bed.
Yeah. Like, but I can see it. Like you see something amazing like that to me, that gives it more. Cause like if I saw something like you're just like, holy shit. The last thing on my mind would be camera.
If that were the case, then fucking Twitter and social media would be blank. Because all this crazy shit that's happening, everybody pops out their cell phones and films it right away.
Yeah, because you had it on, you're used to that.
It's in the car. They're in the car. They get out of the car without the cameras.
Everyone carried a camera with them all the time, right? So these guys aren't photographers. Yeah, you think,
but that's why we're here. I see this. This is why we're here. Let's get a fucking picture.
So a few days later, Danny actually called he organized a press conference. Like he went all in on this, putting together this whole kind of conference together. And his kind of central idea was that he was going to get more data, than just the radio call-ins. Like he was going to get to try and make sense of what exactly was going on. He had arranged for Barbara Finney, the UFO expert that he had brought out there, before to come out.
He was making his own contact in the desert.
they had David Bodner, who lived in West Virginia and was pretty much the nearest representative of MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, to come in and whatever. Now, to come in and kind of like, he was going to phone in, like he couldn't make it. So he was going to phone in, to talk in there. So as he's getting this already, the night before the press conference, Danny said that he actually received a phone call from somebody who refused to identify themselves. And he said that he, that he needed to
you
be aware.
You don't know me, but I know you. A4 officer.
He said that he needed to be aware that the CIA and the federal government were very much interested in Wythe County UFOs. And so at this point, Danny starts wondering about like what he's gotten himself into, that he's getting these random calls, and his wife was kind of telling him like, maybe you should back off of this.
You're too close to the truth, Danny.
We've got kids, like all this stuff that's kind of going on. Stuff's getting kind of weird now that we're getting anonymous phone calls, saying that it's not your place to be messing in defense matters.
You're gonna fuck around and get leukemia.
That's the warning before they kill your dog, pretty much.
They threatened him with leukemia.
They did. He said,
weaponized leukemia.
My son was on the truth like you, and he got viral leukemia.
So by Danny's reckoning,
I don't think that's a thing. No, it's not.
I don't think that's a thing.
It's definitely not a fucking thing.
Reports of the press conference that it went fairly well, except there were a couple technical hiccups. I think they the phone call kind of cut off, like the phone call didn't get all the way through, so they only got a couple bits of that as it went in and out. Danny actually got some people to come up and like tell their stories of their sightings about what they had seen. It kind of almost became like an in-person call-in show at that point, a kind of live version of his news show, and then bringing people up to kind of tell their stories and just more of that stuff. So a mixture of local and national news networks actually there, including the National Enquirer, which was still big back then, kind of skeptical, usual skeptical magazine kind of coming in, it'd be whatever. And apparently Danny had gotten some photos apparently after the night that they had not gotten the photos. They went out the night, before the conference in between then, and gotten some photos of what he thought were UFOs. And he showed it to the National Enquirer guy, and the National Enquirer guy was like, nah. like, this isn't good enough. They're just blurry. These are just blurry pictures of lights. So I'm
and
not sure.
And that's exactly what those pictures look like. It just looked like night shots of lights. You're like, you can't tell shit, dude. Like, shooting your camera at night has come a long way automatically. But like, back then it was not something that like an amateur was good at, just like, oh, but you could just point and click your camera. Like, difficult. And it shows in these photos. It's just fucking, you're like, that's a light. I don't know what else I'm looking at. There's no frame of reference. There's no nothing. See, you can't see shit. It's a light.
So after the press conference, Danny reported that he discovered that his house had actually been broken into and nothing was stolen, according to him. But Danny was convinced that they were actually looking for his photographs, like the photographs that he had taken. After the press conference, like Danny was
well, the National Enquirer didn't even fucking want him, but the military was all over them.
Maybe they laced his bed sheets with leukemia.
Well, I think after the press conference, like, apparently Danny had kind of scheduled to go to a like an event. He was either going to speak an event or he was going to go somewhere where they were having another kind of basically like a. Like an alien con or whatever, you know, like they were having like a convention.
He was doing the circuit. Yeah.
Yeah. He was going to go like either speak there about what was going on. He got a phone call. Like he got another phone call. Like
Travis Walton was like, listen, motherfucker, there's only room for one of us.
Maybe it was something like that. And it was somebody telling him that he was like going to contract some kind of like disease. Like if he went to that thing, like that's where they were going to get him. You know, not that call, but like the shadowy forces that abound in the, you know, in the United States government, UFO cover up like that. They said like, that's what's going to happen if you go to this thing. And so, you know, he was getting a warning
that like, don't go. It's on you if you go.
And so he told his wife and stuff, kind of like they kind of talked it out, and he's like, all right, well, you know, I'm done with this, kind of just whatever. Well, so he
says this great thing. He has this great line. He says, if you watch, there's an episode of Unsolved Mysteries season 4 or something. He goes, listen, and then at that point, you know, it's fine to threaten me, but when you threaten my wife and my kids, you're treading on thin water, my friend. Right? I was very angry. So I did what anyone else would do. I had to protect myself and I hid. I'm just no way. I'm not doing it. I backed down right immediately. But he like the way he pumps it up.
You don't want to tread on thin water.
Yeah. You don't, not with old Danny Gordon. It's so funny. Instantly, he starts talking this tough game and he's like, so I immediately backed down, didn't go. That's it. Not doing it anymore.
So he kind of gave up with that and, you know, compiled his stuff into the book we mentioned earlier with his buddy and kind of came out with it. Like, and that was what it is. So, the people of Withville within like this 3-month period, kind of racked up more than 1500 sightings of what they, you know, claimed were UFOs.
Yeah. But you know what, like at that point, yeah. At that point though, it's like you have, because it's such a sense. And like, again, you go out. Anyone, I'm telling you right now, you go out on a nice clear night with a big sky, spend 2-3 hours max, you will see something that you go, I don't know what that was. It doesn't mean it's always a UFO. Doesn't mean it. But now you have a whole town and every single person going out, right? Even, you know, guys drinking moonshine, only made it to grade 4. They're looking up. They're like, they see a star pop at dusk. They're like, oh, dude, look at that. There it is. Woo, saw one.
Yeah, it's a pretty, and down there would be pretty nice because it's like, yeah, it would be big open sky down there. Not a lot of light pollution. Like down there, it's big rural country down in the Blue Ridge down there. So yeah, I imagine you see all kinds of stuff.
Right. So it's like, it's tough. Like that to me is like when all of a sudden you see that many, are they all, you know, can you discredit all of them? No, of course not. But I would say just based off that, I would chop that number by 90% at least of legit, what was legit. Everything else was, I would attribute to just people going crazy because it's a wild, wild story at this point, right? It's hot. Like everyone wants to be a part of history.
Everyone wants a piece.
Right? Yes, I saw it.
Everybody wants so to talk hot, to Danny.
Right? Yep. Everybody wants to be on Danny's show. Everybody wants to talk to the voice of Withville.
Everybody wants to be whispering in Withville, baby.
Well, if he got hundreds of calls a day, How many days? Though. Let's do math. What, 80 days till we talk to the whole town? Right?
Because we know firsthand that in call-in shows, there's always repeat callers.
Oh, yeah.
So there's some guy calling 150 fucking times on that show. every 20 minutes.
Noah is what you're saying?
Hey.
No names.
Withville's Noah.
Hey, Danny, this is Chris from Withville. sorry, Chris, you're never just...
Yeah, we love you. Some guy's calling every time. He's following it. He gets hung up on it and just immediately dials back, giving you live updates the whole time.
Mm-hmm. So I believe the mystery still continues to this day, because I'm sure if you go to Whitfield, they're still seeing UFOs down that. I mean, you still got Langley over there. You still got all kinds of, you know, testing going on. UFOs, maybe want to keep an eye on Langley. Maybe Langley wants to keep an eye on the UFOs. Who knows?
It's just...
Go down there and get yourself a t-shirt. Whitfield County, UFO capital of Virginia.
Right? And like... It's the thing to me is like in this story, there's definitely something that went on in Whitfield just because of the initial, like when you talk about it, so many people like, I saw something too. The fact that Danny Gordon gets kind of tied up in this is like, he is painfully obvious to me just looking at this as his claim to fame, right? Like he can make a buck off it. He's doing whatever he can to keep it in the spotlight kind of thing. But it's like, that doesn't negate the fact that he ran this story and he was going to run it as a joke because he thought it was funny. He was the same way we bashed, you know.
Did he run it because he thought it was funny, or did he run it because he had nothing fucking else to talk about?
Maybe twofold.
Not a lot going on in that town.
He said, I usually ran a ha-ha at the end of the show and this was tonight's ha-ha. And then the town, like, obviously, there was something going on where it sparked that much of an interest in the town, being like, I saw something too. Like, that's not a, there's something going on, right? So, like, to me, like, the initial sighting that the sheriff, I would say, like, that is something of interest to me. Like, that initial sighting, because it obviously sparked enough people calling in being like, I saw it too. That kind of set this firestorm of media interest away, and it kind of turns into a circus show after that, right? Like, if like, I see you go out tonight, I saw another one, here's a picture of my blurry pictures, right? Like, Danny Gordon's just kind of a grifter, in my opinion, of trying to like monetize this to the full extent. He's like, this is my ticket to the national radio.
his ticket out of Whitfield. Is he still on the radio today? That is the question.
Nobody knows.
If you're from this area and you tune into this station still,
Danny
WFXR. Gordon. Is WFXR even still a radio station?
WFXR.
Yeah, he's still
Virginia.
He speaks. He spoke at the Whitfield UFO Fest last year.
I watched
June.
That video on YouTube.
Oh, guess what? When this is released, this will probably be like, when this release is probably on the 2023 Whitfield UFO Fest.
Boom.
Nice. Yeah, I know. It's weird.
Not weird.
The last one was in June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're doing it. Let's see if they're doing it. Is it with?
Happy birthday, Whitfield UFO Fest. Happy with what do we call them? Whitfield Countians? Happy UFO Fest. With villains.
Oh, it starts in 4 days. So it's on,
We're close. Anyways, we're close.
Look at this. They got a fucking dope logo.
I know.
Look at this.
It's like kind of like our 80s logo.
Where is it? This one? Is that working?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty dope.
That's a really cool logo, actually.
That is really cool.
Really cool. No wonder why everyone was buying the shirts.
Yeah.
I'd buy that shirt in a second.
I don't know why they had mushrooms. Is Whitfield famous for mushrooms?
Well, that would explain my why
fucking 1500, true it was on mushrooms.
1,500 sightings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's assisted art. And the assist is Cybercell. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But it's an interesting, it's a cool case. It's always cool when you have that many people that are so interested in the topic and they're like, we're seeing stuff in the skies. And you got to think that these people are right when they say like they'd know a plane, because like you would hear it. You would hear a low, like a, the explanations that this is possibly a jet refueling, I think are preposterous, that people would mistake that. I personally have never seen a jet refueling at 13,000 feet, but I feel like I would know when I saw that.
Yeah,
I'd
because be you'd like, see a bunch of people with their asses and slings.
No, Brain, he's an, Brain's an expert. We've already,
yeah, I'm an expert.
We've already covered this. Expert. Anything in the sky, God, Brain's damn, an expert.
I keep forgetting.
Yeah, if it's in the sky, within the atmosphere, expert. If it's unidentified, I'm an expert at...
I tell you, that's unidentifying it.
Well, no. I'm an expert at going like... Yeah, I don't know what that is. That's unidentified.
That's pretty crazy.
Right? Or, but a lot of times now I can be like, I've seen enough where I'm like, China balloons, Mylar balloon, China balloon, China Bug. Lantern, China lantern.
Skydiver with flare.
Yeah.
Those ones are cool though.
Yeah, they do look cool.
They look really fucking cool.
Yeah, anything else before we wrap this one up?
Hopefully you would attend the festival. If you attended the festival, let us know how it was.
Get down there right now.
All right, this theorite of the week. This theorite needs our help. If you're on our Facebook group, it's pinned. GoFundMe for Kyle. Kyle is currently battling cancer. He's fighting hard. He's got family stuff. Everyone's looking out for him, and we hope him the best. And if you're interested in helping out Kyle's GoFundMe, helping his family, support him in his fight so he can, you know, with bills and stuff, the GoFundMe is pinned on our Facebook page, facebook.com/alientheorist theorizing group. You can join it. It's pinned right on the page there. I'll post it on the page again and just pin it to the top.
We'll put it in the podcast description as well.
Yeah, go help out if you can.
Absolutely.
Good old boy, been a theorite for a long time, and cancer sucks, man. So let's help him kick cancer's ass. So Kyle,
keep fighting,
Kyle. And you and yours, you're the theorite of the week, and hopefully we can kick cancer's ass with you.
Hell yeah.
All right,
and if you're not supporting the show and you want early access, the bonus stuff, the Discord, all the goodies, you got to go to alientheorist.com, hit that support tab. Support on Patreon or Supercast. They do the same thing. This week's newest supporters are Matthew. This guy's pledged a few different times, but I don't mind reading it. Zell is by far the best one. Paul Zeitlin. And Bear Country goes up in his pledge. Longtime supporter. Ooh. We appreciate it.
Wow. Look at Bear Country. And as we always say at the end of these things, don't look up, because if you look up, then people are going to come around and ask you about what you're looking up about, and then you're not
going to get leukemia.
You're going to get leukemia. You don't want to look up anymore. Keep those eyes on the skies.
Seen that, Frank.